Brother Mark doesn't appreciate me spitting on him, I don't think. I guess if I could heal his ailments, his hand or something, he wouldn't mind it, but well, it doesn't happen, so. As Debbie and Brother Bill have mentioned, we've had a change in our lives just recently, and now we're here, and so things are very different for us. And boy, but we sure did have a good time in Toluca. At least I did. You know, I don't know, those of you who have done, you know, a regular ministry for any period of time know how monotonous it can get and how boring it can be, you know. So those people who say, oh, I just love to go out and preach, they probably haven't done a whole lot of it. You do enough of it, you know, and my son asked me the other day, Dad, do you like to preach? I said, well, sometimes. And then sometimes it's kind of boring. You know, sometimes I get excited, and you don't get excited about it, and that's great. And then other times, you know, you just got to sort of drag yourself out there and do what you have to do. But, you know, in Toluca, really, it wasn't that difficult. We had John there. And, man, if you want a good partner, you get John. Amen. I can't remember a single time he was ever, ever late to any preaching. It's just incredible. But, you know, he's just a blast to be around. I remember one time, he always tells stories on me, so I have to tell one on him. He has it coming. I remember one time we go there, just me and him, we're going to preach in this neighborhood that's like up on a hill. He's got this neighborhood, it's like up this hill, right? And so we get there and we talk a while. Well, John, he heads up the hill and it's, you know, there's not a street, it's actually like all steps. This whole thing is just steps, it's just straight up, and it's probably like 50 or 60 houses. There's a long ways up there. So he walks all the way to the top and he gets up there and he's got this big house. And there's, you know, in the house, you can see it up the hill even further. And so the gate's down below, and it's, you know, you can't see through the gate, but the gate's down below. So he figures, I'll knock, and by the time they get down, I'll be rested and everything. Well, he knocks. Well, as soon as he knocks, the lady's once been sweeping there. She opens the door, and here's John, and he's like just sweating and panting. And she's looking at him. And he can't say anything because he's out of breath. And so he just hands her a tract. Next day, we walked to the top of the hill and then sat down and had a little conversation for a while. Got rested. Cleared the sweat off our brow. Oh, he's a blast. Karen must be the happiest person in the world, just always laughing. And but yeah, I mean, things have changed. And I don't know what's in store for my family, or Bill's, actually. I don't know. I'm not even sure what I'm going to do next. I'm not sure if it's back to Mexico or stay here. I just have really, I mean, people are asking, what do you, I have no idea right now. You know, and the church in Aguascalientes, they've, from what I've heard, they now have their religious association papers, which means that they could invite me in and I could get in with a legal permit to preach. And so, I know that might be an option. I'm just not sure. I don't know if they apply for it, if they'll even grant it to me. I don't know what our deportation will mean in regard to that. So, it's just not sure right now. But I can tell you in all honesty, I'm perfectly at peace with whatever. It does not matter to me. I'll go back to Mexico. If God wants me back in Mexico, I'll go back to Mexico. I love the brethren there. I love the churches. I love the work. That's fine. If He wants me to stay here, that's fine too. It's not a problem either way. If He wants me to go to Poland, I'll have to think about that for a while. No, but really, I am. But I would ask that you guys pray for us. I mean, we do want a clear indication of what we're supposed to do. Anyways, let's look in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9. Verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. This last phrase, I would like to discuss it a little bit tonight. It is of God that showeth mercy. I think it's important that we understand, and I know most of us do, but I would like, for those who do understand, I would like to rehearse it even yet again, even though I know some of you have heard some messages I've preached on this, but I still think it's so important that it be understood and that it is important as Christians that this be a central theme of our meetings, is the theme of mercy. Because that is what differentiates Christianity from all other faiths. That we believe in mercy as opposed to merit. That is the difference. The difference isn't that we're better people, even though, as was preached the other morning, we should be. The difference isn't that. The difference is that of mercy versus merit. And it's so sad nowadays that mercy is not understood. And if it's not understood, if you don't understand what mercy is, you cannot possibly attain it. You have to understand what it is to even attain to it. Mercy and merit do not mix. You cannot deserve it. You know, I think that we as Christians pretty much know that, and yet we still find ourselves somehow reasoning that for someone to attain mercy, they must somehow be worthy of it some way. And we reason, therefore, that God must have more mercy on babies than on adults. Because they've sinned less. But the whole point of mercy is, it is unmerited. You do not deserve it. If you deserve it, it's not mercy. Now, Paul teaches that clearly. He teaches that there is wages for merit. When you work, you obtain wages. But when you don't work, it's faith and mercy. If they're opposite ideas. If you are good enough that God, based on your merit, grants you something, that is not mercy. You deserve it. You have a right to demand it. When was the last time your boss came out and gave you your check, which you contracted a certain amount of hours of labor for, and said, "I'm giving you this because I am merciful"? It doesn't work that way. But if you don't show up for work for a week and he still gives you your paycheck and he says, "I'm giving you this because I'm merciful," well, that's probably pretty true. If you do one thing that merits God's grace, well, then it's not really grace. It's that oxymoron that was spoken about the other night. It's like saying free work. There's no such thing. Or there's like saying deserving mercy. There's no such thing. If you deserve something, then God hasn't given it to you freely. You earned it. You worked for it. You paid for it. You sweated for it. And if He doesn't give it to you, He would be unjust. Some people say, "I think I'm saved. I must be. I'm saved. Sure, I'm a child of God. Of course, look at my life. I'm a pretty decent fellow." Mercy is unmerited. Completely. Any little bit of merit, and it's no longer mercy. Even the smallest amount. Now that's fine. Because Jesus Christ, that man came to Him and said, "What good must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Keep the commandments. All of them. Your entire life." So you know that's okay. You want to attain eternal life through merit? Okay. But then you have no right to mercy. You're choosing to eschew mercy. You're choosing to reject mercy and attempt it by merit. Now, there are some things you ought to understand about that path. You cannot falter. You cannot trip. There are no second chances. You cannot get 99% and still make it.
That's right.
It's everything or nothing. Amen. 9 commandments out of 10 simply is not enough.
That's right.
When was the last time a policeman caught somebody for stealing, took them before the judge, and the lawyer for the defense gets up and says, "Your Honor, my client has never killed anybody." The defense rests. But, you know, religious people do that every day. "I've never killed anybody. I've never committed adultery." Well, that's all laudable, but however, that's not the point. The law's not concerned with what you didn't do. The law's concerned with what you did do. Except when what you didn't do was the sins of omission that we could get into also. And so one little mistake, just one time, that your eyes wander towards another woman, and the law says, "Aha! Guilty! Guilty!" And you say, "Well, that's only once!" Oh, come on. You know, the state issues warning tickets. God does not. "I'm going to give you a warning ticket because you look like a nice fella. Don't do it again." No. And when it comes to real crimes, there are no warning tickets. Someone breaks into your house, they catch them, they bring them, you identify them. "Yeah, that's the guy that stole my TV. That's him. Okay, we're going to give him a warning ticket. If he ever does it again, call us." Yeah, that doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. That's the law. You say, I think that I can be good enough that God will look at me and say, "You're not perfect, but you're good enough." Even if God could, the law cannot. It just simply cannot. For justice to be just, there can be no exceptions. What would you think if God sent you to hell for your sins and someone commits the same ones as you, but not him? "Nah, I think he's good enough." Some type of capricious, discriminatory judgment. "I like him a little better. I think he was in graduation a bit better than you." No, if you want to attempt to gain eternal life through the road of merit, then you must have never, not one single time, committed a single sin. And the moment you do, you failed. Merit is closed to you. The moment you do, it's done. But mercy, by definition, is very merciful. Mercy isn't about whether or not what you kept or what you haven't kept. It's not about what you've done or what you haven't done. Mercy is something that's granted, just given to you. Not because you deserve it, but in matter of fact, it's the opposite. Because you do not deserve it. It's unmerited. So if it's unmerited, then it also must be indiscriminate. It doesn't matter what you do, but it also doesn't matter who you are. Sometimes we get the idea that, you know, "Well, God, you got to save him. Look at him. He's a pretty good guy. That's a sweet lady. Surely there's some mercy for sweet people." Mercy doesn't care whether you're sweet or not. Now that really bothers us. It doesn't me. I mean, come on. Surely God's more merciful to nice people than he is to mean people. Surely God's more merciful to innocent people or ignorant people or my kind of people. Surely God's more merciful to good neighbors as opposed to raunchy neighbors. Surely there's more mercy for people that seem to have some type of interest in the gospel, at least a little. Maybe surely God's more merciful towards them than that fellow that doesn't want to hear anything. But if mercy isn't about merit, then it is indiscriminate. God just says, "I show mercy on who I want."
That's right.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I'm not concerned with who your daddy was or who your granddaddy was. I don't care. I just decide I want to be merciful.
Amen.
And that's the only type of mercy that does not violate justice. If a judge says, "I'm going to be merciful to them, I'm going to forgive this criminal," and the criminal happens to be his son, that's not very merciful. It's pretty unjust. But God says, you know what? I just don't care. They say justice is blind. That's probably the problem nowadays. What's blind is mercy. Mercy could care less who you are. If God has shown you any mercy in your life, well, you shouldn't start thinking, well, that's because, well, of course, look at me. Sure, of course. You know, that's how you guys laugh, but you know, we all think that way. We used to tell people, we used to pass our tracts, that God loves you. And they'd always say, well, of course He does.
Yeah.
You ever read those verses where it talks about God's love? It's always in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How did He love the world? By giving His Son. This idea that God just, of course, He loves everybody. You might ought to go back and read those verses a little bit better.
Amen.
I believe in God's love, but boy, you better not take that for granted. Of course He loves us. What would make you think God would love you? Your neighbor doesn't even love you. Some of you, your own daddy don't love you maybe. I mean, come on. I know there were times my dad didn't love me. Well, when he came home again and found that his tools were missing and I didn't know where they were. No, mercy is indiscriminate. And that means God will have mercy on somebody you don't think deserves it. But by definition, they can't deserve it. If they deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. You got all these people running around trying to deserve mercy. It's like trying to buy a free gift. We have this free gift we're giving out. How much does it cost? It's like, who's on second? Oh, no, it's free. Oh, good. I'll buy it. No, you don't understand. It doesn't cost anything. Oh, wow. Do you take checks? Does life take Visa? You know, it's just stupid. It's this ridiculous idea. It's free. I'll buy it. God's saying mercy. Not merit. Mercy. What do I got to do to earn it? No, not merit. Mercy. Well, you want to know who my dad was? I don't care. It's mercy. It's just given out indiscriminately. I could care that you could come with a bag over your head, completely covered, have no idea who you are, and it's mercy, not merit. And it just confounds the entire world. The wisest men in the world are just completely dumbfounded. Okay, now how much does it cost again? I didn't get the price part. Mercy, not merit.
Amen.
Not who you are, but who God is. That's what mercy is about. It's not about you. See, that's the problem. You always want it to be about you. But mercy isn't about you. It doesn't care who you are. Mercy is about God. He gives mercy. Why? Because He is merciful. Not because you are deserving.
Amen.
See, salvation based on merit is about you, not about God. That's why religious people are always talking about themselves. They can't help it. All they can talk about is themselves and what they've done and what they're trying to do and how sincere they are and how much they've sacrificed. Christians don't talk about themselves. He says, shouldn't it?
Right.
Dumb ones do, but the ones who understand, Christians who understand, they know mercy isn't about me.
Amen.
It's about Jesus. The reason God had mercy on me wasn't because of me, it was because of Jesus Christ. He paid for my sin, He died in my place, and God has mercy on me through Him.
Amen.
You say, well, aren't you proud? No, actually I'm not. Actually I'm not. It's incredible, but it's been completely confused. People who believe in merit believe they're humble, and we're proud. They believe they're good enough to merit the death of Jesus Christ. We believe that we don't ever deserve it on our best day, and we're proud. And they're humble. It's crazy how things have been completely confused and turned around and turned inside out. Merit is pride. Especially when you aren't really as good as you think you are. If you were as good as you thought you were, then it wouldn't be pride. It'd just be confidence. See, people say, I'm proud, but I'm not. I'm just confident. So if you were as good as you thought you were, well, then that'd be one thing. But you're not. You know, we can just go talk to your wife or your neighbor or your boss or your son, and I'm sure all those dirty little secrets will start coming out. That's what happens to politicians. You know, they look real good until they really start running a campaign. Then all these dirty little secrets start coming out on everybody. You think, oh, look at that, another one has fallen. Oh, you try running for office. We'll see what comes out on you. And we'll see, then you'll be saying, oh, no, let's just all be forgiving. In Mexico, they got this idea that what they need to do to stop corruption is get rid of all the politicians and all the police, and replace them. And I always ask them, well, with who? Who are you going to put in there? You know, at first they're like, who are we going to get in there? Indiscriminate. Mercy has no regard for persons. In fact, it doesn't even care who you are. If it did, it would not be mercy. So people that come up and say, well, I'm so-and-so, they're basically saying, I don't need mercy. Mm-hmm. Because they believe that because of who they are, they deserve some sort of recompense. Yeah. That is some form, some weird, perverted, stupid form of merit. And that's basically what it is when you believe that just because you're of some religion, you deserve some type of salvation or some type of eternal life or some type of favor with God. Well, of course God's going to save me. I'm a Catholic or I'm a Protestant or I'm an evangelical. Well, that's just some perverted form of merit also. You're saying, well, I joined the right church. That ought to be worth something. I was baptized in the right water. That's got to be worth something. Actually, it's not. Actually, it's really not. No, mercy is indiscriminate. But if mercy is unmerited and mercy is indiscriminate, and this verse is true, that it is God who showeth mercy, then you have to agree then that mercy is unpredictable. You just can't predict who God's going to be merciful to. Isn't that what he's saying? I'll have compassion on who I want. I'll have mercy on whosoever I want. If I want to have mercy on him, I'll have mercy on him. If I don't, I won't. Some people say, oh, that can't be. How could God, but mercy isn't merit. He can do what he wants with it. If you work for me and we contract labor and you're going to dig a ditch for me or whatever, paint a wall or, you know, work on my teeth or, you know, be a mechanic, whatever it is you do, and we contract and say, for this job, I'll pay you $100 and I pay you that. Well, that's not mercy. That's merit. Now, if I have another couple hundred dollars in my pocket and I decide I want to give it to you also, that's mercy. And I can give it to you if I want. And if I don't want to, I won't. I probably won't. That's mercy. A beggar comes to my door. Knock, 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 knock. I open it up and say, nah, I'm not giving you anything. Another one comes. Another one. 10 beggars come to the door. And on the 10th one, I give him $100. And you say, oh, that's just not fair. You should have given everyone 10. You're unfair. No, I'm perfectly fair. Perfectly just. It's my $100 to do with as I please. If I want to give one $100 and all the rest none, it's mine to do with as I please. God doesn't owe you mercy. That's why it is mercy. He owes you exactly what your deeds have merited. That's what He owes you. And it's coming. It's coming quicker than you think. But mercy is what He gives you that you don't deserve. He gives it to you not because of who you are or what you've done. So mercy is completely unpredictable. And that's what's so incredible about it. You just don't know. Well, sometimes, you know, we, after years of preaching, think you got it figured out. I remember this one time my grandfather was preaching, or they were showing a film, and then he was about to get up after the film, and he was going to preach a message, and the guy that was there came up and said, turned off the mics and everything, says, no, we're not preaching, none of them are going to get saved. They don't care, they're not interested. Some people, I mean, and you think, oh, that's just terrible. Oh, come on now. You telling me you've never just door knocking, just skip a door? I don't think they're interested. Got a big dog in the yard, and you know, these premises are patrolled by Colt 45 and stuff. And you're thinking, they look like gangbangers sitting out there, you know, and they're, you're like, I don't think they're really interested. I don't want to occupy their. They look very busy. Well, come on now. You just think you got it all figured out. You know who's good, who's really, who's close. They're close. I've heard that so many times. Oh, they're close. You know, 50 years later, oh, they're, I think they're pretty close. He got this other guy. Ah, he's never going to get saved. That guy, that's a John Castillo. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, we better just pray for him to die right now. Lord, euthanize him. Just put him out of his misery. That boy never going to get saved. Oh, come on now. We've all said it. Ah, they're not interested. You just don't know. You just have no idea.
Amen. That's right.
Completely unpredictable. Because God can show mercy on whosoever He wants.
That's right.
Whoever He wants to. Whenever He wants to. Wherever He wants to.
That's right.
Isn't that the point of Brother Bill's message? Mm-hmm. One of the points? God can just open a door somewhere and just say, you know what? I'm going to have mercy on this whole country over here. I'm going to send preachers and I'm going to send people and they're going to get saved. Why? Well, because Russians are better than Turkish people, than Turks. No, it's not about them. It's just about God.
Amen.
About what He wants to do. And I can't explain why He does these things. I don't know. He just says, I'll do it to whosoever I want. It's mine to give. I'll give to who I want. But you just don't know who that might be.
That's right.
So what do? We sit at home and wait for all the elect to come pouring in so we can preach to them. We go to a street, and sometimes, you know, I say we had a great time in Toluca. We sometimes, you know, joke around, go to the street, not no elect on this one. Not really, I mean, we're joking, but you know, we kind of just got to do that. We just kind of get the, no, what do? You do what every salesman does. You don't know who is going to buy your product. You just knock on every door.
Yeah.
You just talk to every person.
That's right.
You know, I think there is a gift. There obviously is some gift of soul winning. But you know what I've seen of soul winners? Is that soul winners are just more insistent than all of us lazy people.
That's right.
And I include myself all of those lazy people. You know, they talk to... you know, Brother Adrian? Is he here? Okay. When we were in the Canetta together, I'm serious, I think one time I saw him evangelizing a post. He would talk to, you know, to a drunk who's, you know, he's witnessing to him, and he just gave him the same effort he'd give to anyone else.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, oh, Adrian, forget that. You're wasting your time. But, you know, he won more souls than me. They're just more insistent. Many times, that's the big difference.
Amen.
Because you just don't know. Isn't that what Paul says to men with unsaved wives or women with unsaved husbands? If they're willing to abide with you and you following God, being faithful to the meetings, and they're willing to put up with that, don't leave them because you don't know if maybe God will save them. You just don't know. You say, no, it's not possible. My husband, he'll never get saved. He's a bum. Well, we've had cases like that. Just bums. You know, where the men in the church, we kind of like almost get together and plan about going and just running into him in some dark alley, beating the snot out of him. You get mad sometimes seeing what some of these bums do to their wives. But you just don't know. If mercy is unmerited and mercy has nothing to do with who you are, it's indiscriminate, then it is completely unpredictable. They could get saved. Isn't that what it says even about people who are completely against the gospel over there in 2 Timothy 2:25? Where it says that we should be meekness towards all with peradventure. God would give them, grant them repentance. They just might give repentance to some nasty, horrible Saul of Tarsus. He just might do it. He just might reach down in some little trailer park and grant repentance to some nasty little Lyndal Kincaid. He just might do it. You just don't know. He might just reach down in some little Sunday school room on Halloween night and save some dirty little sinner like Michael. He just might do it. You just don't know. You think you got it all figured out sometimes. But mercy isn't about us. Mercy is about that incredible, spectacular Savior.
Amen.
who for no reason that we can explain, no merit of our own, nothing we can pay for, nothing we can somehow show any type of gratitude by giving any type of sacrifice, He just sheds mercy on people. Now that's truly incredible. Seems like everything these days that says it's free comes with strings attached. So my kids, they always find, they check our mail when they get off the school bus, and they get out all these things, and they all say free on them, and they're all happy. Well, look at this, Dad! It's free! We don't even open that garbage. We're probably throwing away lots of stuff, who knows, but, I'm just too much experience. Free! With a purchase of $1,000. And this is mercy with no strings attached. This isn't mercy while you deserve it. This isn't mercy while you're in our church. This is mercy. Complete, absolute, no strings attached. Mercy. That's why Christians get so excited about mercy. And we're so not down on merit. We're so not interested in merit. The Christians have understood that on their best day, they are not worthy. On their very best hour, they do not deserve God's kindness. Christians have understood. They've comprehended. Not because they're so bright, but because people like me just drill it in, like people did to me. You finally, it like dawns on you. Oh, free! Oh! Oh, you mean like free! Wow! Well, I was about to walk out because I don't got nothing! But free! Free! No strings of free! Yes! Finally! Because they told me it was cheap, but it doesn't matter how cheap it is if you don't have nothing! So my kids don't understand. But Dad, it's cheap. Well, it might be cheap, but that doesn't mean I have any money! It's not about what it costs, it's about what you can pay, and I got nothing, nada. Religion is trying to make salvation cheap for you. They just can't get it cheap enough. It's always just one penny too much. Now it says, here's a novel idea. Free! Wow! Free. Not because of what you deserve. We're going to overlook what you deserve. Amen. Not because of who you are. We're just going to shroud you in the justice of Jesus Christ because we don't want to know who you are.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Not because it was your turn. Not because, It's just because I'm merciful. And when you understand that, if you could understand that point, you'd be saved.
That's right.
You'd say, you throw away all that stupid merit that you keep bragging about that no one else cares about, only you. The only one who thinks it's worth anything. You throw that all out and you'd say, I'll take that free gift.
Amen.
I'll take that free gift. That sounds real good.
Amen.
Go to hell because I deserve it. Go to heaven because God's merciful.
Amen.
Boy, that's just not much of a choice. I think that's pretty, that's one of these they call the no-brainers. It's a good thing, because some of us, if it was a brainer, we'd be in trouble. It's one of those no-brainers. God just grants who He wants, mercy. And you say, now how do I know that God has given me mercy? Well, because you're sitting in a room in a church in the United States of America listening to gospel preaching, and you're not worried about stormtroopers knocking down the door, going to haul you off and shoot you before you can do anything. Isn't that mercy?
Amen.
I think that's tremendous mercy. You can go out there in your car right now and turn on 1100 AM and listen to preaching all day long.
Yeah.
Isn't that mercy? You can go home and find one of the many Bibles you own, dust it off and read it.
Yeah.
No fear of persecution.
That's
You don't understand it? You can go out on the street corner and look for some church that says, church, Christian church, and go in and say, hey, I need help understanding this. And they'll jump right down and help you.
Yeah.
No cost, no charge, no fee. That's mercy. A whole bunch of people died today in this city without the chance to hear this message. You're hearing it. That's mercy.
Amen.
Yeah, we couldn't have predicted it before. Did you, 10 years ago, would you have seen yourself here right now? No, mercy is unpredictable. Couldn't predict. But right now, God is giving you mercy.
That's right.
Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You're going to reject the free gift of Jesus Christ and hold to that stupid idea that somehow, some way, maybe, God might overlook all the wrong you've done, all the bad you've done, and concentrate only on those few little points in your life where you were halfway decent? Is that what you're holding to? Come on, man. You need to wake up. Boy, you know, that's what Paul said. He says, when I am found, I don't want to be found having mine own righteousness,
right,
which is by the law. But I want to be found having His righteousness, which is by faith. And this is Paul. He actually probably kept the Ten Commandments better than anyone else in this room. And when he got and understood mercy, he said, wow, that's great. I was worried that when God came, He was going to judge me as me. Isn't that the fear most men have with commitment? I mean, the real fear? That they're going to really get to know you? And find out you're not as great as you pretend to be? That's why none of us want our secrets known. Nobody wants them looking under our mattress and in our closets and in that bottom drawer. We want to keep all that hidden. Well, one day God's going to open all that up. He's going to drag out all your dirty little secrets. He's going to, everything you've ever thought about everyone close to you, He's just going to put it out there and say, look, this is what you really are. How are you going to fare on that day?
Yeah.
Paul says, man, I don't want to be judged like that. That'd be a horrible judgment. But this idea, I'm going to stand behind Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's going to say, He's purchased by my blood.
Amen.
You got an issue with Him? I'm His lawyer. Talk to me.
Amen.
You know, we all Americans, we understand the value of a good lawyer, right? Oh, that's a good lawyer. He hasn't done anything. That's been paid for. That's been bought and paid for. And He's under my mercy.
Amen.
What you need to do is you need to get yourself under the mercy of God. Not under the merit of religion. You need to be under the mercy of God. And that's the message that this mission conference is about. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God is doing. Doing through us and with us and by us and even times doing it despite us and without us. But man, He's doing incredible things. He is just shedding mercy all over the place.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, you get real tunnel vision, don't you? You get to thinking because your little patch of bean, your little bean patch is real dry and it's having a little drought for a while. You're not harvesting anything. You get to thinking, I think the gospel's just dying on the vine. But no, I'm telling you, it's not.
Amen.
God is showing mercy all over the place. People are getting saved.
Amen.
You just need to lift your eyes to the harvest.
Amen.
Because it's unpredictable. You have no idea where it's going to happen next.
Amen.
But believe me, you want to be there. You want to be part of it.